All right, so when I was getting ready to preach Mark's account of what happened on that first Easter morning, I found there was a lot of scholarship that addresses this ending of Mark's gospel. There are actually two more endings, the shorter ending, which adds a couple of sentences, and the longer ending, which actually adds another 12 verses. The other gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, they offer some kind of concrete assurances that Jesus is present with his followers even after the end of his earthly mission. John gives the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, or gives us the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to comfort the disciples. Luke gives us those travelers who walk with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, you know, opening the scriptures and explaining that all. And in Matthew, Jesus promises, "I am with you always." But in Mark, there is no great commission, no intimate conversation with Mary in the garden, no recounting of the Hebrew scriptures or the sudden arrival of the risen Jesus behind locked doors. Mark ends with an empty tomb, but nobody sees Jesus or touches the nails, nail holes in his hands. The author of Mark ends in what we might call a cliffhanger. No matter how compelling a story might have been right up until the ending, sometimes a cliffhanger leaves the reader unsatisfied with the story. Apparently, the writers who added those longer endings to Mark's gospel, they apparently did not like cliffhangers either. They wanted and needed something more than the empty tomb and the silence of the women. And if we're honest, we are uncomfortable with silence of those first witnesses as well. We are uncomfortable with silence. So we have the women, the empty tomb. They tell no one because they are afraid. So how is it that we find ourselves 200 plus years later telling the story of God's saving grace that's on full display when Jesus is resurrected from the dead? The telling no one ending has never made any sense to me whatsoever. Why would Mark end his gospel account with the women who are seized by terror and amazement saying nothing? Consider that when we declare Christ is risen, it is not the end of the story. It's actually just the beginning. Through Mark's open-ended telling, we are invited to step into the gospel story. Mark invites us to go from bystanders to participant. We are invited to tell the story of Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified and has been raised. We are invited to carry on the witness of the crucified God who identified completely with those who were excluded and suffering. We are invited to share Jesus' triumph over death and injustice with everyone that we meet. Of all the Easter Gospels, Mark's story invites us to stand trembling with those first witnesses. Those three women stood at the empty tomb. They didn't see Jesus. Neither do we. They did not hear Jesus call their name. Neither do we. We weren't invited to touch his wounded hands or put our hand in his side. We haven't touched Jesus' hands either. Sometimes all we get is the word, capital W, scripture. The difficult, challenging, yet hope and faith created word that Jesus is risen. There is power in these sacred stories, power that is meant to live on and expand and bring new life in and through us, in and through us out into the world. So even though sometimes we find it hard to believe that a man is raised from the dead, but when we come together on Easter morning and every Sunday, we hear this word and we are drawn by faith, pulled into the story of divine love once again. We still live and love and struggle and die and hope by faith alone. The story of what God is doing in and through Jesus isn't over at the empty tomb. It's just getting started. Resurrection isn't a conclusion. It's an invitation to each of us to live our lives knowing that we are God's beloved children. An invitation to pick up the story where our ancestors left off and write a new chapter about God's love in and for everyone and all of creation. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. And now the